Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast to help you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Welcome to today's show. Happy holidays. Are you feeling the holiday spirit? I'm so in it. I have wrapped 1,000 gifts and sent out so many things for all of our vendor partners and clients and team members and all the things. So I'm in it and I'm loving it. It's giving big Buddy the Elf vibes. I'm like wanting to make sugar cookies and go ice skating and do all the things. Just so happy to be here with you guys. And we are cruising into the end of the year. So today's show is a really, I don't want to add more things to your to-do list, because here's the thing. I know this time of year is so crazy, so busy, but I wanted to tell you about three things that I'm doing before year end to make 2026 my wealthiest year ever. And for me, 2026 doesn't actually start until January 5th. If you look at the calendar, that's the first Monday of the year. So for me, that's New Year's Day. So I wanted to give you some ideas on really easy things that I'm doing to set myself up for massive success next year. And maybe you can get inspired and steal some of the ideas. So make sure also you stick around to the end of the episode. I have three amazing shout outs. You guys are loving the shout outs on the episodes, which make me so happy. So stick around for that and let's get into it. I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that everything that I'm doing, I'm kind of anchoring back in some sort of evidence that it could work. I always say success leaves clues. That's not my quote, somebody else's, maybe Tony Robbins. When we look at old money families or people that we deem to be successful or living the types of lives that we want to live, the broke mindset is to waste time and energy being jealous, resentful, creating stories about why they're evil or unhappy. The wealthy mindset asks, what can I learn from these people? Success leaves clues. They're doing something right. What have they done that I'm not doing that I could learn from or implement or put into my life or even just change my mindset around? So, you know, first of all, I want to start by saying, you know, you can't just paint with a broad brush on all like old money families. What are they doing during the holidays? There's no one right answer. Some people are skiing in the Alps and Switzerland and France and partying and après skiing. And some of them are holed up in their penthouses in New York working like it's Succession. There's no one way to be successful or to set yourself up for a good year or to have the holiday or whatever. There's a different vibe every year. It's the same thing with morning routines. It's why I'm not a big morning routine girly, because I don't know about you if you're listening, but I'm a woman. And so every day of the month, I am a different person. Like day one to day 14, I'm a different person. So I don't want to do the exact same thing every single morning. It ebbs and flows. Sometimes I don't have a morning routine. I have a nighttime routine where I set myself up for success the next day. And then some days I sleep until 11 because that's just what feels good. It's the same thing with winter plans or setting yourself up for success. There's a whole bunch of different ways to do it, because last year, 2 years ago as well, my way of setting myself up for success was to hibernate. I needed to hibernate and reset and unplug and not be working on my business and not be working on projects. I needed to fully disconnect because the intensity of the year, of all the things that I had been through, I needed to reset and really focus inward and really read a lot of books and really do in like fiction books. Some holiday seasons are about rest and hibernation and recovery and following the seasons, just like a bear hibernating, whatever, and enjoying the holidays and getting litty at your holiday party or doing whatever it is that you need to do to feel so good about it. Going into that with intention is okay. And it's also okay to totally be stoked on the next year and be using the time when some people have kind of turned the lights off, so to speak, to get ahead and plan for next year and do what feels good. And maybe it's a combo of both. Maybe you need to have one of those holiday breaks where you don't know what day it is when you wake up. You're like, is it Wednesday? Is it Monday? I don't know. I love that feeling, by the way. And maybe you need to like be super dedicated and get a head start on your fitness goals and be up and walking and enjoying the snow or the sun or whatever it is. It makes me think of when I was a little baby realtor. I was probably 12 years ago. And there's this amazing real estate agent in Rancho Santa Fe in San Diego, which if you're not familiar, that's where like all just palatial estates. You have horses, you have ranches, you have ranch style homes on multiple acres. You're looking at homes that are anywhere between $10 and $25 million. And it's just like, oh my God, it's so comforting. It kind of feels like Northern California in San Diego to me. It really reminds me of home. And Linda Sansone is a realtor, and I was touring homes with her for my job at the time. And she is just, and I mean this in the best way, she's like an old dog of Rancho Santa Fe. Like, she's sold every home. She knows who lives where on every single street. She knows when they've traded, what they've traded for. She knows everything about the area. And she's also so classy. She's just a classy broad. I believe she's from New York originally. And so she's always in like her equestrian wear. She's so cute. I love her, and I haven't spoken with her in probably 10 years, but I always admired her because she really was the epitome of old money vibes before I even knew what that was. And I just admired the way she carried herself and everything. And she told me, because we were touring during the holiday season, a home, and she told me the way that she had been able to get ahead in her business is because during the times when everybody else turns their light off, the holidays, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day, whatever, people are like, oh, I'm gone, I'm taking time off. She's like, I'm always here and my light is always on. So I catch the people that are actually using their time to achieve their goals, buy their homes. I'm here for them. I'm always here for them. And I take my time off on the off time when my clients don't need me. And it always really stuck with me about two ways you could go. Like, do you want to really retreat, relax, hibernate, or do you want to keep your light on? But I will tell you, my guess is that even if there was an old money family, let's talk like somebody who's running a family office, they have, you know, a huge business that they run, they are doing all the things, even if they're off enjoying their Mediterranean yacht charter, before they left, they probably got some stuff done. Because this is what old money families are doing to prepare for the next year. First of all, they're 100% maximizing all of their investments and contributions. And I'm not just talking about a 401k. I mean, if you are in this upper echelon of wealth, you're probably not worried about maxing out $23,500 in your 401k or doing your IRA rollovers or whatever, but they're probably trying to maximize contributions in things like donor advised funds. If they're in philanthropy, if they're giving things away to make sure that they can offset for their taxes. They're also probably doing things like tax loss harvesting or adjusting spend before year end to minimize the tax impact on their family. Or maybe they're doing the boring stuff like those last minute calls with the attorney to update your, I don't know, your living trust or your beneficiaries because, you know, Johnny got married to some crazy gold digger and we want to write her out of the will. I don't know what's going on. It's also very possible that as they're après skiing in Aspen, they know all of their network is going to be there. So it's like a networking event. It's rubbing elbows. It's like, you know, you're networking without trying. You're just seeing people at the places you need to be seen, all those things. So with all of that in mind, my end of year plan and new year plan absolutely has celebration and relaxation built in. In fact, my business birthday for AF Marketing is December 8th. And so Justin and I always celebrate with champagne night and caviar. And it just so happens that I had an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills to catch up on. And that was like my Friday night, one Friday. And it was just so indulgent and ridiculous. And I loved every second of it. Or last night, Justin and I went to Mr. A's, which if you're familiar in San Diego is an absolute institution. Like, talk about old money vibes. Every year we go for holiday drinks. I had two gin sours. I definitely woke up like four times last night, desperate for water because holy shit. By the way, just sidebar, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast yet, but gin sour is my drink for 2026. I am so obsessed. I cannot even tell you. And I feel as though I'm on the early adopter of a trend. I was early on Sancerre. I was early on Hugo Spritz. I think I'm early on the gin sour. I feel like it's coming around. It's so freaking good. Anyway, my point was, Mr. A's is all decorated. It's cute. It's cozy. It's such a little vibe in there. And so we go for holiday drinks. Like 100%, I'm going to burn a Friday night on just enjoying and indulging and relaxing. But on all the other times, I have all these amazing, really exciting plans that are giving me so much energy and so much life. So I have three things for you to consider, things that I'm doing before the year end to make 2026 my richest year yet. Okay, first thing. If you want to do this with me, you're going to go to oldmoneypodcast.com/moneyplan because the first thing that I'm doing is building a new refreshed money plan for 2026. You need a 30,000 foot view on your money for the year. Intentionality around planning where all of your dollars are going to go is the difference between building wealth and letting money slip through your fingers. And if you don't map out what you want your money to do next year, it's going to just drain in ways that you never expect. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of the B word, which is a budget. I follow a money plan because I want my money to work for me. I want my money to have a plan. I want it to go to the places that I decide it's going to go. And that takes a little bit of intentionality. Now, if you've been here for a while, you know that I've been tracking my spending since 2018, every dollar I've been tracking, because I'm a recovering overspender, I'm a recovering shopaholic, I'm a recovering credit card abuser. I just needed to do that to reset my habits, bring a lot of intentionality and awareness around how I was spending. And it took me quite a few years. Well, I did do something different this year, and I want to be really honest with you about it, that I don't love what I did this year. Here's the thing. Tracking every single expenditure on a spreadsheet is not an old money vibe, okay? Like, that's just not the way that I subscribe to managing my money. What I used to do up until the end of 2024 is at the end of each month, I would download my statements from my Chase credit cards, from Wells Fargo, my checking account, from all my other accounts, whatever, and I would put them into a spreadsheet, and then I would manually categorize them all and then total them up and then plug them into my tracker. So I was looking at and managing every single line item spent manually at the end of the month, and it became something that I started to dread. I mean, I'm managing all the financial reports for my business. I'm doing all of this stuff in QuickBooks. I'm sending invoices. I mean, I have an amazing accounting team and CFO, but like still I have to review all the reports and all the expenditures to make sure they're good. And then doing that for my own like Chipotle bowl, I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is not feeling rich. This is not feeling aligned. It was just becoming too much of a burden. So I decided that this year I was going to start researching easier ways, more automated ways for me to track my spending without having to do this huge spreadsheet dump at the end of every month that I was starting to hate as my money date. Because again, there's this law of diminishing returns. It's like, okay, I'm making more money. I'm not like desperate to stay within budget on all these things. I have a lot of wiggle room, but I want my money dates every month to be going towards, how am I optimizing my investments? Where do I have opportunities to learn about, I don't know, a Roth conversion or a different type of account to invest in or whatever it is. I was wasting my time doing all of this spreadsheet work, burning my energy that I didn't give to expansive opportunities in my money date. I still do my money date every single month, but this year they've been so much more productive, expansive, I don't know, because I've been spending time on things that are really impacting my growth, not just managing my spending. Does that make sense? So this year, early this year, I committed, I'm going to do some research. I'm going to find an app. I'm going to find a money tracking app. And there's a lot of them out there, okay? I experimented with a few up front, which I'll reserve judgment on because I didn't commit to them fully. But the one that felt the easiest to me and the one that I went forward with was Every Dollar. Every Dollar is a Dave Ramsey product. It's by Ramsey Solutions. So you know the guy I'm talking about. But it's a budgeting app and it's very, very simple. So instead of spending an hour downloading and categorizing my expenses, totaling them up, transferring them into a different spreadsheet, I said, I'm gonna give it over and hand it over to Dave Ramsey, and I'm gonna allow this app to help me track my spending this year. And for the most part, I liked it. I like it because it's really easy to log what category that you want to have your different expenses go into. It's really easy to adjust the budget. It also gives you a good overview of what's coming in, what's going out, but I actually didn't use it very well this year. And the reason I say that is because the whole reason you even track your spending, not only on the month to month to make sure you're staying within your means, but it's to get data so you can build next year's plan. I used to go back to all of my spreadsheets, the one that I kept manually, and I could make adjustments and really understand where my spending was and then what it would be next year based on the historical data, based on the averages. It was super helpful in saying, okay, I spent a total of, I don't know, $2,500 on car maintenance. So that should be my savings goal for my high yield savings account as a sinking fund. Or, okay, it looks like I overspent on Botox and facial things this year. So I need to just do two appointments a year instead of going in every quarter. It really helps you become aware. But I did not use Every Dollar in the best way that's helping me plan for next year. And I'll tell you what I did wrong. Number one, I didn't think granularly enough about where I wanted the categories to be. So I have a lot of categories that kind of overlap. For example, I didn't really do a category for fun stuff like a date night or a random thing. I didn't budget for that. So I just kept putting that in this miscellaneous category Which is also when I like bought a random vacuum cleaner on TikTok shop and I'm like, okay, this was a waste of money. I'm going to put it in the miscellaneous category. So I have a lot of stuff that's just caught in the miscellaneous category because I didn't set up the budget right at the beginning of the year. And then I didn't really adjust it later. The other thing that I did really badly is that I logged all of my debt payments in the Every Dollar app, which was the wrong thing to do because they're not debt payments, they're credit card payments. Okay, so this is what I think I did wrong. I think this category is meant to be like if you're in debt, let's say you have $20,000 due on a credit card and you're trying to pay it off over time. If you have income, let's say you have $10,000 of income every month and you put $1,000 towards that, of course, $1,000 worth of your budget is going towards paying off debt. But the way that I use my credit cards is not that I have a big balance that I'm trying to pay off. It's just that I use credit cards to make the transactions so that I get the points and then I pay that off every single month. But what I was doing was I was logging those credit card payments as debt payments. It didn't really register to me. And so now when I look at my annual breakdown, it says that the percentage is. It says that I spent 20% of my income on debt, which is not true. I didn't carry debt this year. I just used my credit card every month and then paid it off. So what I should have done was just delete those transactions. Is this making sense? Because even I was confused this year because when it says that I spent 20% of my spending for the year on debt, I'm like, no way. Like I don't have debt. I was just paying off my credit card. So it totally skewed all of my data for the year because if it says I paid 20% of my income towards debt and then 25% of my income towards housing, like that's actually just not accurate because you have to extract that debt figure and then all of the pie chart readjusts. Are you following? If you're confused, don't worry. So was I. I'm just letting you know, I just didn't set this up to really serve me. Yes, I tracked my spending, but I didn't do it in a way that's giving me really helpful data for next year. So I have a little bit of data and I can extract a report from this, but I'm going to try it again to see if I can do a better job for a few months. And if it doesn't work out, I might switch apps, but I am at that point in my life where I am not going to be logging everything on a spreadsheet. I do need something to track my spending, but for the purposes of giving me really good data, and I just didn't set myself up for success here. So again, I might switch, I might stay, I'm not really sure, but here's the thing. End of year accounting. I need to know where my money went and how much did I spend, how much did I save, how much did I invest. I don't have those answers very easily in the way that I have in any years past. In fact, you can go back to last year and the year before, look in the December episodes, and I do a full breakdown of my budget every single year because I have it on my money plan. I don't have that for you this year, and it's hurting me. I think the biggest thing is that we need to know where our money is. Like, where is our money going? Are you meeting these benchmarks of how much you want to save, how much you want to invest, how much you have invested? Like, how much did you do this year in dollars and in percentage? I mean, oh my God, sidebar really quickly. We need to talk about, and I know half of you hate when I talk about Real Housewives, but there's a lesson here. And those of you who are watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you're going to love this discussion because we need to talk about, sidebar, the Amanda Francis of it all. Okay, we have to put some respect on Amanda Francis's name because she has built a business that has created massive amounts of wealth for her, which is congratulations. Like, I'm never going to begrudge anybody for building a business, following their dreams, getting wealthy, unless they're doing it in a really unethical way or an illegal way like Jen Shah. But Amanda Francis comes on the show and she's the quote unquote money queen, right? She's teaching about money manifestation. And she says on the show, I don't really talk about the practicalities of money. I think they're really important, but I talk about like the energetics of money. That's great. You guys know I talk about both. I agree with her that that is important. But there is such a dearth of personal finance information and empowerment for women to actually make their money grow that just thinking that you're going to manifest money and then not do anything with it is so beyond ridiculous to me. It makes me want to scream. You have to put your money to work. You have to understand the framework of the way the rest of the world is playing the game so that you can get into the game and play it and win as well. If you're thinking that she's just sitting there manifesting and then not doing anything with her money or not investing it or not hiring people to help her, you're wrong. Of course she is, but she doesn't have that practical financial knowledge as it relates to personal finance in her courses. She just talks about the mindset. So if you're watching the episode that I was watching a couple days ago, you remember Dorit and Bose and Amanda Francis are at lunch, and Dorit is going through a really bad divorce. Surprise, surprise, this has happened with so many other housewives before. I have been preaching this, and it's one of the reasons why the Real Housewives keep showing up in my conversations, because all of these wives hand over all of their financial responsibility to their husband and trust that their husband are going to manage the money for them and take care of them. Then they get divorced, and like Dorit, she has this huge house, all these bills, this lifestyle, and her husband just stopped paying. So now she's on her own. And they're talking about, well, how much money do you have in your investment accounts? What do you have in retirement? And she says, as far as I'm aware, there's nothing in retirement. There's no investment accounts. And Amanda and Bose are like, what the fuck? As was I, by the way. We have seen this happen countless times. Sonia Morgan, we've seen it happen on Real Housewives of Orange County with Jen Pedranti. We've seen it happen with Lynn Curtin. We've seen it happen with so many people. And it's one of the main reasons why I'm yelling from the podcast rooftops, you have to understand how your money works. You, no matter if you are in a relationship with the love of your life or you are single, I don't care. You have to be engaged with your money, because nobody's going to care more about your money than you. And you have to have enough knowledge to be dangerous so you can make good decisions. Do not outsource your power with money. And so, you know, Amanda's giving big eyes like, oh my God, I can't believe this woman would not have money invested. And Bose is looking there too. And Amanda had just told Bose, like, I teach on the energetics of money or whatever. And so Bose asks Amanda, like, what would you say to somebody like Dorit? Like, what financial actions should she take right now? And there's a dramatic pause. And they cut to Amanda saying, well, like, I would just like set an intention and like decide what kind of provider do you want to be? Like, who do you want to be in this situation? And Bose, her eyes, you guys, she gives the biggest side eye, and then it cuts to her confessional and she's like, that ain't right. Like, something ain't right. And I couldn't agree more. Because what I would say, and I'm not a certified financial planner, I'm not a financial advisor, I'm just a girl like Amanda Francis who has an interest in money, but I know enough to say, Dorit, you need to get a forensic accountant. Forensic, just like you think about CSI, somebody who goes in and looks at all the clues. A forensic accountant goes in and understands all of the different accounts that you have your name on, that your husband has your name on, so that when you go to mediation, arbitration, you go to your divorce settlement things, you actually know what you're working with. It's the same thing. Sutton did the same thing on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when they got divorced, and she was like, oh, looks like I own a Savannah Bananas baseball team. That's nice. Or I don't think that was the team, but it worked out well for her because she ended up getting a $300,000 a month alimony check from her husband until he, you know, annulled their marriage. I don't know if that affects her payments or whatever. Probably because her kids are 18 now, he probably is like, see you, bye. But my point is this: you cannot win at life with just vibes, and you cannot win at building wealth by just guessing and flying by the seat of your pants. You have to be organized, you have to be strategic, and you have to know what you're doing with your money. You cannot just manifest your way to building wealth and building the skills that you need to build wealth. So doing this exercise of the end of year accounting every single year is one of the biggest ways that you can learn and grow and improve year over year. It's like gamifying it. Understanding how much you made this year, do you want to make more next year? How much did you save this year? How much did you invest this year? Can you beat that next year? This is not about vibes. This is about numbers. This is about a plan. You need to understand your income expectations, your base, and your upside. So for me, for example, I'm a business owner. I have a variable income, meaning that my income can vary from month to month, depending on how my business does. Not just how much revenue we bring in, but how many expenses we have, how many new team members we hired, if I need to build up my operational account more, whatever it is. So I have a base. I have like a minimum I know I'm going to make next year between my salary and owner's draw, but there's also upside. But I build my money plan based on what I know is guaranteed. And then if there's upside, or I get to pull more money out of the business because I get a bonus or whatever, then I will adjust my money plan at that time. I also think it's really important for us to understand our fixed versus variable expenses. I refer to them as keeping the lights on and living your life. Keeping the lights on is all of your essential spend. So it's your mortgage, it's your insurance, it's doctor, it's gas, transportation, whatever. That's all the things that if you, God forbid, knock on wood, lost your job, you would go into survival mode as it relates to spending. You're not getting your nails done. You're not going on a shopping spree. You're just going to hunker down and try to find a new job until your income catches up again. Living your life is all your discretionary spend. That's getting your nails done, going on vacation. It's, you know, doing all the things that you choose to do, not the things that you have to do in order to keep yourself housed and clothed and fed, basically. So understanding what those two categories are really important. And in the money plan, you can actually label, you can totally customize your money plan. Again, it's oldmoneypodcast.com/money plan. You can customize it for all the different categories that you have. You might not have kids, you might not have pets. Take those categories out, put in what's important to you. And then you can label them essential spend or discretionary spend, or you can say keeping the lights on or living my life. All those things are really important. The other thing that's really helpful when you look at your money plan from 2025, 2024, like I said, you can look at how much you spent over the year on things that are not regular monthly spends, but they are predictable spends through the year. Some of the examples on that are car maintenance, Christmas presents, car registration, insurance payments that come every 6 months. So if they're planned, it's not a surprise. It's not a reason for you to bust your budget. But what you should be doing, and you can go back and listen to my episodes about high yield savings account, is putting money away in a high yield savings account as a hedge fund, as basically like an earmarked fund, as a sinking fund, so that when those expenses come around, you can pull from that money and it doesn't upset your regular monthly budget. So using the template, it completely removes emotion. It completely removes this whole vibe manifesting thing. It replaces it with clarity. End of year accounting to plan for next year is your power in knowing where your money goes so that you decide how much you spend, how much you save, all those things. And this dovetails perfectly into item number two, which I'm working on right now. I'm so excited to tell you about this. I'm such a dork. But this is about establishing systems for 2026. So I am all about establishing new systems that are going to improve my life for next year. I'll tell you about the new project in 1 second. But going back to the money tracking, if you do not have systems for your money yet, you do not have automatic savings, you do not have automatic investing, you do not know how to do a money plan, you need a little bit of support, you want me to walk you through it. Old Money Method is that. Old Money Method is a 5-step process of controlling your spending, creating a money plan, understanding how to pay off debt, understanding how to save money, and how to invest money. And again, it's not about vibes and energy. I actually walk through with you and explain to you all the details and all the things that make you feel overwhelmed about investing. I open an account with you basically on like a video. Like you can watch me do it step by step by step. I explain all the little pieces to the savings account, how to set up automatic savings, how to pay off your debt, how to use the money planner, how to use the debt payoff calculator, all the things. I will be right there with you. So you can have me on one side of your screen, you can have your money planner on the other side, and I will walk you through it step by step. I really need to send this link to Dorit so she can set up her money plan, because this is what she needs, because she has no visibility into how her money is working or if it's working at all. It's probably just being spent like crazy. Oh, sidebar, speaking of another Real Housewives thing, I've talked briefly about this, I believe, Wendy Osefo from Real Housewives of Potomac, who always gave me the ick with her, I have 4 degrees, but whatever. Her and her husband are being charged with insurance fraud, and it came out in their court proceedings or whatever happened that they both had 87 credit cards, 87 credit cards in their name. You think they have a healthy financial house? I don't think so. Not with 87 credit cards, which they're probably just not even paying minimum payments on. Like, what a fucking mess. If you cannot manage your money on a money plan, it's too complicated. So if you need help, I'm there with you. Old Money Method. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes so that you can find it and get into that program. It is the least expensive that it will ever be. I am raising the price in 2026. And the reason I'm doing that is because the ROI on this course is insane. You invest in this course this one time, you have this resource forever. I will continue to update it over time. But for the amount you're spending on this course, you're going to 2x that in savings or investing or just better money management, peace of mind, anything easily in the first quarter of following the money plan. Like it's just like you make your money back right away. There's so much value in there. It's literally everything technical that you need to know about money and how to set up a money machine. So anyway, a system for money. That's so huge. I don't need to set that up right now because I have it. I follow the old money method. But listen to this new thing that I'm doing because I'm so excited about it. I'm making a life binder. What is a life binder, Amber, you ask? Well, my life binder started with this weekly reset checklist. And there's a template for this online. I don't even know what the URL is, but I'll link it in the show notes again. oldmoneypodcast.com/weekly reset. I'm not really sure. But I started doing this thing earlier this year, which was like my Friday closing shift. On Friday, I block out an hour of my time to organize for the next week. So for example, we have a Monday morning team meeting. So at the end of the week on Friday, I make sure that my agenda and all my notes and all the things I need to delegate are organized so that I come into that meeting clear-headed and everything's already thought of. I'm not scrambling Monday morning to try to get my notes done. My team deserves me to be clear and organized, so I do that on Friday. I also look at the week ahead and I block out anything I need to do. I make sure that my workouts are scheduled. I make sure that I have any self-care scheduled. I make sure that I log my expenses and every dollar. It takes 5 minutes. It's just this checklist and I just go through it every single Friday. And it's helped me stay on top of my game in such a meaningful way. Whereas before, I would kind of scramble and forget things until it was too late. So one of the things on there, for example, is like look ahead for birthdays. I love a birthday. I love a gift. I love the thing. So I want to make sure that for my team, they're being celebrated. They're getting a card. I'm not scrambling the morning of to get them a gift. Like I've been thoughtful about it, right? Just giving myself that breathing room is really helpful. And an hour a week for like administrative tasks, it just helps me so much. I actually saw this TikTok where it said, if you are the type of person who has to have everything on a list, it means that your brain is just outsourcing all of that stuff like to an external hard drive so that you can have more processing power for things that are not routine. It's just the way that your brain functions. I used to think I was so dumb and had no memory because I literally can't function without a to-do list. And now I've identified all these recurring tasks that I have to do in my life and I've put them on a recurring to-do list. So I just open up that file every single week. I usually actually like to print it out because then I can just cross things off. It feels really satisfying. And the way that I have this set up is that I have a task in my Google Calendar, not an event, but a task because the task sticks on, it doesn't go away. But I also have an event like blocked out. So that time is protected for me. And in that task, I have a link to the Google Doc. That's my weekly reset. I talk all about this in Old Money Method and how I set up all my systems for life. But for me, it's really easy. I go to the task, I click the link, I have the Google list, and then I print it and I'm good to go. So if I need to add anything to it, anything that's recurring, it's really easy to edit. It's just in that Google Doc and then it'll be there for next week. Well, it's been working so well for me. Like, I don't even know how to tell you, I'm in my CEO era. Like, it's so incredible how easy it is for me to delegate. I'm not scrambling on anything. It's just all already thought of. And so I was like, you know what? If I was living my wealthiest life in 2026, what would that look like? Well, one of the things that I want to be investing in is a house manager or weekly housekeeper who can help us with stuff. Because we right now call our housekeeper like when we're so busy and don't have time to deep clean, and I shouldn't be cleaning anymore anyway. We just call when we need them and they're lovely and we love them so much. But what I really need is to set up something that's weekly and recurring. And I was thinking, how would I communicate like what I actually wanted done on a weekly basis? Because sometimes it's awkward when I'm like, hey, can you also wash the towels and this? And they don't normally do that. And it's just like a weird negotiation every time that I just don't want to have the emotional lift for. So I was like, you know what I would do? I'd probably do like a weekly, a monthly, and a quarterly cleaning list, kind of like Martha Stewart. If you guys haven't seen that book, I bought it for my mom so long ago. She has this incredible book that teaches you how to clean and has this schedule of things that you should do in your house at different times of the year or once a quarter or, you know, once a month, rotate your mattress or whatever it is. So I went to ChatGPT. And by the way, I don't even type to ChatGPT. We just talk. I just dictate everything I need ChatGPT to do. And I gave Chat some ideas on what was important to me in cleaning. And I said, can you also reference Martha Stewart's best practices for cleaning and create a checklist schedule for me of things that would need to be done on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, quarterly basis, and an annual basis? And when I tell you, he showed up and showed out. And yes, I think my ChatGPT is a man. This is the best fucking list I've ever seen in my life. And it covers everything from like checking the smoke alarms and changing the what are those called? The filters? I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what they're called. It goes through everything. And if I just had that list in a binder and I could give it to the housekeeper that we hired, and I'm like, here's your weekly, here's your monthly, here's your whatever, and here's a little binder and a dry erase marker, and all you have to do is kind of come in here and work independently, because I don't want to micromanage people. I want people to just have my expectations and then execute on them. Like, no big deal. Like, that's how I want my business to run. That's how I want my life to run. That's how I want my housekeeper to come in and just do their thing, and I don't have to worry about it. But it's also making sure that my standards are getting met, because some housekeepers come in and they just move the dust around. They don't remove the photo from the shelf. They just dust around it. Well, like, it says specifically what to do. Or maybe they're not ever cleaning the baseboards, or maybe they're never looking at the walls, but that's something that I want to be looked at on a monthly basis. Then I don't have to communicate it repeatedly. We have one conversation up front. I say, here's the framework. Does this work for you? Are we in agreement here? They can charge me how they want to charge me. And it's just really clear expectations, and I'm stoked. Okay. And so me and chat, like, you know, we're dreaming up this cleaning list, and I'm like, what else could I do here, chat? I'm thinking about it. Like, what is something that I hate to do? Grocery shopping. We Instacart a lot. However, even when we Instacart and we rely on that recently bought list, it still misses so much stuff. So I got a little psychotic. You guys, I'm a fucking weirdo. Okay. I go to my Instacart. I download all of our receipts for the last like 3 months. I upload them in ChatGPT. I say, chat, baby, here's what I need you to do. I want you to tell me exactly what it is that we purchase. I want you to categorize it for me. And then of what we purchase, I want you to create a meal plan so that I have things already laid out in a meal plan, snack plan. And I also have an organized shopping list with brand names and quantities so that I could hand it over to a house manager and say, here's our inventory list of perishable goods or pantry goods. You look and see what we don't have or what's going bad or what we need so we can do this meal plan for the week, and then order it for me, because I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So I get to this cleaning plan. I get to this grocery plan, and then I'm like, what else could I do, chat? Let's do it. And I put in our Amazon orders. You guys, like, regular house stuff. Do we have toilet paper? Do we have parchment paper sheets? Do I have dog food? All this stuff, which every single time, I swear to God, every single time this year, when there's like one scoop of food left for Poppy, I'm like, fuck, I have to go get dog food. And it's like a mad dash to get over to this independent food store that I get her food from. And it's always stressful. It's a whole thing. And it's like, why do I not give myself, my future self, the benefit of the doubt to just know that it's coming and just look for it? And again, it's outsourcing all this stuff that takes up so much space in my brain. And I just don't want to waste the space anymore. I want to just have it out of my brain in something that I can reference and give it like 5% of my energy, 5% of my attention, instead of 50% of remembering that, oh, we're humans and we use toilet paper, so we should probably buy some. So on top of this, you guys, I'm telling you, I went fucking crazy, okay? This all started from my personal weekly reset list. That is a template that is in Old Money's archives or resources or whatever. So I have my cleaning schedule, my shopping list, my house supply list, my meal plan. Then I go in and I make a health schedule, my annual health and wellness schedule, including in January, I need to schedule my thyroid checkup for March. I need to schedule a pap smear for March. I need to schedule a thyroid ultrasound in March, because what happens is, like, I'm supposed to do it in March, but I call in March and I'm like, sorry, babe, we don't have any appointments until June. So I put this in a checklist. So in January, I'll do it so that I can get it done on time, order my lab work. I'll remember to get my teeth cleaned. All of those little things that are just nagging us, the way that I feel so prepared and so ready and so empowered and on top of this, without it feeling like a lift, my whole life is now going to live in a binder. I'm literally going through and thinking about every part of my life that can be systematized, that can be delegated and routine, things that I'm just not loving to do, because that's how a CEO works. That's how a high performer works. And the other thing that I've done, I added in a section in my weekly reset, and I made a little grid, okay? So I made this little grid. It's a 3x3, so 9 squares, like a little mini bingo chart, okay? And in each of the 9 squares, I have 9 different categories of my life. And I have a little date on top. I just made this up for myself. And maybe your 9 categories are similar to mine. Maybe they're different. But in these 9 different categories, I had taken some time to think, like, what are the 9 most important sections of my life that I'm trying to optimize or do? So in the nine squares, I have one for work, one for money, one for love, one for home, one for mental health, one for connection, one for physical health, one for fulfillment or purpose, and then one for God or source. And I have a couple notes in there as well. Like in the God or source one, it's like, am I spiritually connected? Do I have time to think? Am I growing? Like little just like notes of like what this measurement is. And so on a weekly basis, I've been giving myself a rating of 1 to 10 of how strong I feel in those categories. And it's because like they say, you can have everything, but not all at once. And you know, sometimes work and money are feeling really good, but love needs a little bit of attention. So that's my cue that I need to schedule a date night with Justin. Or maybe my health and vitality and body intelligence is really high. I've been going to the gym and walking all the time, but I've neglected the home, so I need to call the housekeepers. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of balance it out. And I've used this data over the past few weeks and also now as I'm going into planning for 2026 to framework where I'm going to focus my vision for the next year. So for me, all of this routine and all of this system and all of the things that I've done to just make sure that I'm even just taking a second to reflect has been so incredibly helpful for me to have data around my life and then decide how I want to spend my time, my money, my energy. It's also helping me reflect on like what really moved the needle, like what was really expensive, not just in money, but also in time or in stress, what's getting more attention in 2026, what's getting less attention in 2026. So it shows me where the focus next year goes without having to muscle it. I'm just setting up the system so that other people can support me, I can support me. And all of these systems are taking all of that mental energy, the invisible scripts, what do they call it for women? They say the invisible mental load. It's not my mental load. It's not invisible. It's literally written in a binder. So if Justin needs to do housekeeping, if Justin needs to order groceries, he can support me in the way that I want to be supported and vice versa. Like this is something I just told him about this week. And he's, first of all, you're fucking weird, Amber. Second of all, cool. Like maybe I'll participate. So maybe he wants to put some stuff in there that's good for him so I can support him, whatever it is. But like the household is organized. The household is supported. And I can now take more of my energy and brain power into the things that are important to me. So obsessed with establishing systems for 2026. So recap. First of all, the first thing I'm doing this year is building my real money plan for 2026 by looking at this year's money plan, which is kind of fucked, and then building one for next year. The second thing I'm doing is establishing systems for 2026 to support the areas of life that I want support in. The third thing that I'm doing is a brain dump to close loops on anything that's frictionful. I like to start the new year with no friction and with zero emails in my inbox and nothing to do on my to-do list. Like I want to be free and clear for 2026. So what I've been doing, I've actually been doing this since the beginning of November, is I did a brain dump of all of the things that I've been putting off, okay? I made a list. I have a huge whiteboard in my office right next to me and I had a list of open loops that were personal, open loops that were work, open loops that were sales leads, all the things. So I had all these categories of open loops. And an open loop is just something that has not been completed and is just spinning in your head and eating attention. For me, I had to just brain dump it of all the stuff I've been putting off. A lot of it was getting health appointments scheduled, figuring out why my insurance was trying to charge me like $6,000 for something. And I was fighting them on it. And I just was like, let's just resolve this. I finally got that freaking annuity moved over to my investment account because I had to cash it out. One of the most embarrassing things that's been on an open loop since June was finishing writing our thank you cards for our wedding or getting all of the gifts that I needed to buy for our clients. I had like 75 different gifts that I had to order and write cards for and get addresses. All of these open loops that were just in my head of like, oh, I have so much to do. I'm so overwhelmed. They were on my open loop list. I still have 1, 2, 3, 4 things left, but I started with like 20 things. The brain dump feels very overwhelming, but what I committed to doing was one thing every single day. I would take action on one thing every single day. In fact, there's a really cute TikToker that I follow and I just don't have my phone near me or her name. I have no idea what her name is, but she actually lives in San Diego. She's very cute. She's kind of got like an anthropology type of a vibe. And she's doing a series called Things I've Been Putting Off Around the House. And she will document doing everything from like hanging up and drilling into the tile to hang up a shower curtain to creating a fence with her neighbor, who's her sister, to painting her garage or painting over a really ugly electrical box at the front of her house. But like every time she does a video, she's doing one of the things that she's been putting off. And there is so much dopamine in doing something that you have been procrastinating. So I put it up on this whiteboard that stares at me while I'm working. It's like over my shoulder. It's looking at me. It's like, do me, do me. But maybe you want to put all of these different items that are on your open loop list on an individual post-it note. And you're going to put maybe 10 post-it notes on your mirror in your bathroom. And you're going to every single day pick one of the post-it notes and get the thing done. There is so much power in closing the loops. The end of the year is not about doing more. It's about making next year easier to win. You want to go into next year feeling clean, clear, and under control. What is this, a deodorant commercial? I don't know where that came from, but my point is that the more that you have your loops closed and the things completed, the more room there is for new things to blossom in the new year. You have to make room for things. The same way if you are getting new clothes, coming into your closet, I recommend cleaning it out and getting rid of some stuff. So put all these things on a list, on a whiteboard, maybe it's on your refrigerator and you have a big list, get with your kids, with your husband, like what are the open loops that are really slowing you down or making mental weight in your head? And maybe from this episode, you're inspired to go work with ChatGPT and make a meal planner and a grocery list. Or maybe you just need to go through and cancel unused subscriptions in your Apple account. Or maybe you need to call and renegotiate some of your bills or your due dates. Maybe you just need to simplify accounts. Maybe you need to close a couple of old credit cards. You need to have fewer banks, clearer systems. Maybe you need to finally get the Drano and fix the slow clog in your sink that every time you brush your teeth, you have to spit into a bunch of water. That was me. I fucking hate that shit. It's so nasty. It was driving me crazy. Maybe there's something like, I don't know, getting a password manager set up. Like I talk about this a lot in Old Money Method, but if you are the type of person who doesn't regularly log into their financial accounts because you can't remember your password, it's 2025, baby, and you should be spending $20 a month for a password manager so that you can access everything. It is money well freaking spent. So put all of your passwords into one password and actually make good passwords so people can't hack you. Wealthy people enter January unburdened. And I mean that because not about how much money they have, but the wealth in the peace of mind, in the sense of completion, in the fresh start, that is such a wealthy mindset to start the new year with. So if you start it unburdened, you don't have to garner up all this motivation to finally get things done. Get them done before the end of the year. Again, end of the year, I know it's busy. We all have family obligations and things, and maybe this is the year of hibernation and rest for you. Maybe you're like Linda Sansone, you're going to keep your light on, you're going to keep things going. I'm taking things very little by little, just simplifying where I can, automating where I can, optimizing where I can, and most importantly, systemizing where I can so that 2026 is going to be the year of delegation, the year of no mental clutter, no mental noise, no open loops. And it's going to be my wealthiest year ever. Not only because I'm going to be earning more than ever, as should you, as I think it's Lori and Chris Harder that I got this from, is like every day I wake up, I'm happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fit than I was yesterday. And I think about that for my life, for my years as well. Every single year I get better, I get wealthier, I make more, I do more, I have more systems. And it's going to be my wealthiest year ever because I'm getting all the mental clutter out of my mind and I'm really being intentional with where my money goes so that it really helps me achieve my big, big, big goals for my life of living well, enjoying my life, being in love, not being stressed. That's what I want for you in 2026. So as we wrap up, three things: get your money plan in order, get your system set for 2026, and then close any open loops so you can start the new year fresh as a daisy. Let's wrap up with some shout outs. Really excited about them. I have three of them today. The first shout out is from a Spotify comment. You can leave comments to me on Spotify. I don't know if you know that. I didn't until very recently, but on episode 125, it was acting rich versus being abundant, the 3D versus the 5D. That was, if you haven't listened to it yet, such a good episode. I go a little off the rails. I go way woo-woo. I'm talking about like quantum physics and time and space and all the things. And I think I said something in there like, if you got to the end of this episode, let me know because I think I'm totally unhinged. And this literally made me LOL. It's from X Lisa Elisa, and the comment says, I got to the end. I love this episode. Brings a great level of awareness. So ex Lisa Elisa, like literally heart hands to you because you made me LOL. I love it so much. Okay, so the next shout out goes to Fabiola, or Fabs for short. She sent me the cutest, sweetest Instagram DM, and I wanted to share it with you guys. She said, thank you for all that you do, for being you, for being so real on the podcast. I'm so thankful I came across it. Thank you for making me feel less alone, for inspiring me, allowing me to dream big, for being gentle but firm in your teaching. Infinite blessings to you, and I can't wait to see all the more amazing things you will accomplish. Fabiola, like, I just, you guys don't know how much your words mean to me and all of your support. I'm just so happy we're doing it together. This was such a nice message, so generous in spirit and love, and I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much, Fabs, for all of your support and being here as part of the Rich Girl community. I love you so much. So shout out to you. And the last shout out on the list is a shout out that I'm just doing independently for my very good friend and her husband. I want to shout out Abby and Nick, who have been such good friends to Justin and I, and I met them through Justin's work conferences. And like, thank God when you go to a conference, you have like an ally, like a sister in arms to like survive the conference with. It's the best thing ever. But Nick just got an incredible, very well-deserved promotion at his law firm. And I admire him so much. I admire Abby so much. And I just love to see my friends win. I want to celebrate you guys. You've had such a big year with so much movement and growth and success. And I'm so happy for you both. So Nick, congratulations. I love you both so, so, so very much. I'll talk to you guys all soon on the next episode. Have a great holiday season, and I'll talk to you next time.